I'm standing here with Associate Professor David Caldicott, and we've actually been gossiping for about 20 minutes now, and we're old friends. And he's a Canberra-based emergency consultant. He goes into emergency departments and solves their problems. Hello.
Hello.
And you're part of this big conference of emergency doctors.
Yep.
That are being quite outspoken.
Maybe for the rest of the world, not for us.
Okay. And you're saying that the climate is a medical emergency. Why is it a medical emergency?
Well, there are huge medical implications for climate change that are happening right now. I mean, I suppose about a decade ago, we were a little bit worried about climate change. You know, you're going to see the differences in diseases. You're going to see the difference in spread of mosquitoes. Things could be bad. But right now, we're seeing bushfires. I mean, the entire east coast of Australia is alight, except for your coal mine up in Queensland. We're seeing asthma. We're seeing air quality change. This is now an emergency. People are attending emergency departments as a consequence. We had a very interesting talk yesterday about the psychological consequences for people. So where do people go when they are moved and scared? They come to us, to the emergency department. So we're already seeing it. And in fact, we're beginning to talk about how we're going to cope with the additional burden that's associated with climate change.
Is that something you can explain back to governments easily?
Can you explain anything back to governments easily? I guess you can explain it to them. The question really is whether or not they're listening and what alternative information is filling their other ear as well. So we're making pleas on the basis of our patients. That occasionally is difficult to increase in volume to overcome the noise made by people making pleas on the basis of share price.
It's funny, though, because people would listen to you if their leg was falling off.
They would.
They wouldn't listen to someone who's like a, you know, one of the shareholders or from marketing.
This is a classic boiling a frog scenario. So part of the problem is like in the next 10 years, we're going to see dramatic changes in society. But 10 years is an eternity in attention deficit disordered society.
Sorry, what?
We can't get people to engage with any of this. That's very funny. I see what you did there. You're a funny little man, aren't you? Seriously. We need to make this about now, because if we don't make it about now, the next 10 years are going to be bloody awful for Australia, particularly Australia. Australia is very vulnerable from the global thing. So a 3 or so degree change in temperature for the rest of the world would probably be the equivalent of a 6 to 8 degree change in Australia.
Because we're already on the edge.
We're on the edge.
Climate-wise.
You're like 10 kilometres away from the sun. You know, everything in Australia will kill you, including the plants. There's no water anymore. The only safe way to drink water is to drink beer. You know, this is a disaster waiting to happen.
6:15, ABC Radio Hobart. You're listening to Associate Professor David Caldicott, a Canberra-based emergency consultant. He's one of the people who began the pill testing processes and the pill testing campaigns, I suppose, in Canberra. You've been doing pill testing.
That's right.
Is the message is starting to get through, do you think?
I think so. I think the message is already through to... So we've got over a dozen peak medical bodies in Australia, the colleges, so the senior doctors all think the pill testing trial should be done. The general public, about two-thirds of the general public think that it should be done. And so it's very similar to climate change, actually. The only people who appear not to be listening are the politicians.
Australia Talk survey just released the fact 84% of Australians want climate change addressed by politicians. But we did the same thing with marriage here as well, with marriage equality. The pollies seem to come around slowly. So while I've got you, because I've only got you for a few more minutes,
we
constantly have stories in our paper about how dire things are, particularly in our emergency department.
Yep.
Now, you're a consultant, so you solve problems in emergency departments.
Sure.
How bad is it here compared to the rest of Australia?
Look, I think the rest of Australia and even here are doing it tough. The emergency department is getting harder everywhere we go. The acuity is increasing, so the severity of people's illnesses are increasing. We have an aging population, and that happens everywhere in the world, and so the demands on acute medical care are increasing. And our ability to respond to that isn't as agile as the threat to the service we can provide.
Do you think our emergency department is particularly badly organised? We have concerns about ramping...
Ramping is a global phenomenon. And it's not by any means desirable. It's not at all something we like. Treating patients or leaving patients on beds or gurneys in corridors is not the way to manage your loved ones. Mm. But sometimes there is no room. We can only do in an emergency department what we can do. This is an entire system. It's very easy. We're front of house. People are looking at us. Very easy to blame what we're doing. But if you can't decant patients elsewhere, if you don't have a system that supports the rapid throughput of emergency patients, you're going to be stuffed anyway.
So what have you done? Because Canberra is small. What have you done in Canberra that's innovative that we could be doing here? Or is it not really on the ground that it's the issue? It's about the administrative bureaucracy,
I think,
or money.
We're pretty much, well, you know, there is a temptation to say that it's all about money, and everybody would love to have more money to do more innovative things. But a lot of the time, it's structure and administration. When you have teams of admitting specialities, able to come down, clear a department and make more room for us. That's incredibly useful and it doesn't require any more money. We do, for the last decade or so, we've had short stay units. Improving discharge into the community, the ability to get people out into the community. A lot of units have hospital in the home, so people who need intravenous antibiotics can actually be discharged home and a team of district nurses can pitch up. Those are the sort of innovations which actually will change an emergency department. Doing the same thing as we always used to do, that's not going to change anything.
What do you think the potential is here in Tassie?
Honestly, your emergency department, and that's only the only thing that I can speak to, is full of some of the brightest, most eccentric, most out-of-the-box thinkers that I've ever met. So if they're given free rein to do what they advise their administrators to do, they will change things. But a lot of the time, you know, there's not a lot of political imperative for senior doctors. We're very busy at looking after our patients. It's more difficult, and I have sympathy. I would never do the job of a medical administrator because I've got bad people who know nothing telling me what to do. And it really probably comes down to our administrators to listen to the locals who are absolutely across the local issues, an advocate for them at a policy and political level.
That'll at least improve morale.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
The morale is so important. And it doesn't.
Do you sense that it's very low here in Tassie when you come to the conference?
Oh, not at the moment. You know, I am stunned. These people are on fire. They're terrifying. And you just need to unleash them. Let them do what they do best.
In terms of doctors coming out, emergency doctors, and saying that the climate change is an issue for you, what weight do you want that to have in the community?
Well, I think the community is already behind us, and I think it's probably the other direction. I think we're getting behind the community and providing a voice that is not as easily ignored. It's quite clear in Australia that the community understands the issues. If you look at the response to the current crisis in New South Wales and Queensland, you have elements from the fire brigade, elements from the community saying, actually, no, this is important, this is an emergency, and we are beholden to the people that we represent to stand with them and advocate for them. So I think it just enforces the message and makes people step forward and have a comment.
It's not, because doctors used to be conservative. I mean, have the left wing got to you? Have you been sucked into some weird, or are you still conservative?
Look, I think as a profession, we're still pretty conservative. It's taken 18, 19 years to get the colleges over the line as far as pill testing is concerned. So it is our inclination to be conservative. But once we are motivated to do something, we're a little bit scary. The only people who are scarier are the nurses.
Great to talk to you this morning.
Absolute pleasure.